Gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Master, may you bless all of us, Lord, with the boldness, the courage to be brave in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, you reveal the life that was hid in Christ. You reveal the truth that is Christ, the complete manifestation of thy word, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. The only one who can love us, the only one who can grant us the peace that will rule our hearts, our minds. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, grant all of us, Lord, thy grace to serve thee. Lord, I pray, let there be calmness and quietness in the blessed assurance of we belong to thee, O Father. The Lord who keepeth the covenant, the Lord who watch over the Israel, he neither sleep nor slumber. So Lord, may you bless all of us to understand that it is well with our life. It is well with our struggles. It is well with all the challenges because, O Lord, we are in thy mighty hand. We are completely sealed by your Holy Ghost until the day we see Christ. Lord, may you bless all of us to rejoice, for today is the day. And we all gather in thy name. We are one family of God. And Lord, I pray and I rebuke all the yoke of the past, all the hurt and all the pain that are tormenting deep inside. And Lord, we say, we rejoice, for God of Jacob is our help. Lord, thank you, Lord, for thy joy is our strength, and your name is our strong tower, and your presence is our liberty. And Lord, for still we desire to remain as the bond servants of Christ, in thy prison, bound to your word, rooted in your word as the trees of righteousness. May you bless us to hear the truth. May you bless us to understand the revelation. May you bless us to humble ourselves, to stay and to be remained in Jerusalem. Thank you, Lord, for all the goodness. Thank you, Lord, for all your benefits. We glorify your name for who you are. May you bless all of us to live a life that is worthy of the calling. I surrender our hearts, our church, the holy place, and Lord, most importantly, O Lord, we offer ourselves as a tabernacle for your Shekinah glory to descend and to rule our life, O Lord. May you bless us with thy presence. May you teach us in your word. And we surrender our everything for your name. Take complete control, O Lord, of the sermon, of our thoughts, of our hearts. May you bless us to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to grow in our faith and to grow in our prayers, to be fruitful in the land where this ministry has been established to do a work according to your will and pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Greetings to you all, dear brethren, in the name of Jesus Christ. Shalom. Good to see you all, brethren, joining us from overseas. But for now, we are all seated in the same house. Amen. We thank the Lord for our life. Past week, let's all turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to hold some words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wonderful words of revelation, wonderful words of encouragement, wonderful words of rebuking, wonderful words of chastening. Praise the Lord. The words of life and the word of God. Amen. The chief cornerstone, the foundation that is sure, and the lively stones that are built upon the foundation as the spiritual priesthood. We say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you revealed yourself to me. You are telling the Lord, Lord, thank you, Lord, for revealing me to thy word, as I am a part of your word. We bless the name of the Lord, that he blessed us to understand what is grace, what is mercy. What do you mean by receiving the peace of God, which cannot be explained, can only be experienced? And if the Lord helped us to understand, what do you mean by manifestation? If I call a brother, Brother Clement, he's walking somewhere, I say, Brother Clement, I know his name, and he knows his name is Brother Clement, and he turned back. Amen? So I just called him, and he turned. And that turning is the manifestation of the name that I uttered. Something reacted, something responded. And the Lord told his disciples, come, follow me. Nobody asked him, who are you? What is your name? They left everything at once and they followed him. The sheep of the shepherd, the part of the word, obeys to the word of God, because it has no other choice. That is why you are called, you are part of him. That's why we are all called, we are part of the body of Christ. The mind doesn't belong to you, it belongs to him. So may the Lord bless us as we yield to his spirit, as we yield to his word, to learn from how he allowed things to happen, even how he allowed the fall of a servant transformed into a mighty, great, divine blessing, and how he allowed a mighty, great, divine blessing of a servant to be the same reason that he fell. It's like a circle. It goes around again and again and again. The more he gives, the same talents will stand against you to become a stumbling block for your own growth. So may the Lord bless us to receive contentment from him. For the past few weeks, we have been studying having a form of godliness, how evil it is, how dangerous it is, and how the Lord allowed this to happen from the Old Testament even until the seventh church age, for the children of God to practice their faith, to come stronger, to come wiser, to fall and rise, to be tossed and thrown, to be forced through fire. But here we just read in 1 Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. So what is your godliness? Those who are new believers, they would say, I don't have anything to do with godliness. I just started believing God. I'm just a believer. I'm just a child of God. I just want to stay far away from the tabernacle because I'm not worthy. Day one, a child is born. Then the Lord feeds us, helps us to grow, teach us, allow us to experience things, to come to a reality that he is in you. Then we say, what is your godliness? And the Lord told Abraham, the way he blessed him, the righteousness was imputed, amen, for Abraham. When the Lord imputes his righteousness in you, you receive the godliness. Because we are not righteous. There is no goodness in us. There is no light in us. We are nothing but moving death, people who are walking dead. But the Lord breathed His life to us. He revealed His truth to us. And He made us understand that we are nothing without Him. And when we desire to embrace His righteousness, to live a life that is worthy of His calling, where we are not perfect in your own eyes, you are not perfect in this world, but we are all perfect in the promises upon which we are all standing. And that perfectness is, the Lord who created you, He will see you through. The Lord who called you by name, He will deliver you. No matter what happens, it is well with my soul. Whenever your troubles tormenting you, creating wounds and injuries to your mind and making you like a broken hearted person, just tell to those troubles, it will be worth it all. Because without embracing the fellowship of sufferings, we would never see Christ. If we cannot praise Him when we are down, then our faith level is far away from what He is expecting from us. May the Lord bless all of us to stand firm in the storm, to arm shoulder together, to hold our hands, so that when one fall, one lift up, when one cries, one smile, we just share the strength among us. Because we all serve one name. We all have one faith. May the Lord help us to understand, what do you mean by strong tower? It means when you live in this tower, you are strong. When you are in the tower, no matter what happens to you, you will feel the strength in quietness, in silence. His name, the banner of His love. The Lord who guided the people of Israel by pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, also made the wife of Lot to be a pillar of salt. That's the Lord whom we serve. Let's turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Brother Clement, please read for us from verse 12 all the way to verse 29. Verse 12 to verse 29. Chapter 19. Thank you, brother.
Then the man said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whoever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. But the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the man took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him.
Amen.
And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life, do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased the mercy which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So He overthrew those cities, all the plains, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, where he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Verse 29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Let's look at the events that we meditated last Sunday. Three men came. Abraham bowed himself to the ground and he paid his respect and honor to receive them, and he urged them to go into his house to break bread. But they gathered underneath the tree, so they were discussing. Sarah, who was behind them in the tent, she listened to what they were speaking. Amen? Let's remember what we read. Let's go to chapter 18. Chapter 18. We read from verse 9. Verse 4. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Amen? Not inside the camp or tent or the house. So Abraham is inviting them, rest under the tree. Have a little water and wash your feet, rest. Water, wash your feet and rest under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent and to Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal and knead it, and make cakes upon the herd. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter, milk, and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So they did eat. Abraham stood by them under the tree. Do you remember what are those trees that we are talking about? We will go there. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife will have a son. And Sarah heard it, eat in the tent door, which was behind him. So the wife heard what the three men are speaking to Abraham at the tent door, which was behind him. So, wife listening to the words that are spoken concerning the promises, hearing at the tent door. So they ate, and Abraham stood by them under the tree. So now, let's look at what we just read. 2 men who were inside the house, because Lot, he pressed them upon greatly. And when the whole city of evil people came and tortured him, these 2 men, they put forth thine hand and pulled Lot inside the door and shut the door. The door was not left open. But actually, if you look at this very carefully, Lot never cried for help. He did not say, help me, pull me in, or do something. He was trying to do what he can for those 2 who were dwelling in his house by being a sacrifice, but without knowledge and wisdom. If those 2 men didn't pull him in, he would have died. He would have been killed. Something bad would have happened. But he didn't even outstretch his hand for help. But because of his life, the way he spoke words, take my 2 daughters, who have known men, but do not lay your hands upon those two men who are inside my house. So he was willing to lose anything. He was willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of those two whom he is hosting in his house. The way the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, irrespective of what Abraham was bargaining, how about 10? And the bargain stopped at 10. But are you going to count? Did the Lord do anything because of 10? But so far we only see 1. And how the name of Lot is mentioned in New Testament? Let's turn your Bible, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. From verse 1 to verse 8. Thank you, brother.
But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds.
Amen. Amen. By seeing the deeds, I read this from verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Became weary, frustrated, vexed by what? Filthy conversation of the wicked. Do you all remember how the beautiful book of Psalm begins? The very first verse. If we are all introduced to the book of Psalms as a new believer, first time we know our Lord, we accept the Lord, let's say from a heathen religion or being an atheist, now you come into the truth. And if someone come and tell you, book of Psalm, it's all about praising the Lord, worshipping the Lord, exalting the Lord, how great He is, how mighty He is, to remember the benefit of the Lord, this and that. If you read the book of Psalms, the very first chapter, you won't see any of it. The very first chapter of the book of Psalm, it's a reminder, sanctify, consecrate, wash yourself, be aware before you praise the Lord. Even before you utter the name of the Lord, be aware and be careful whose name you are going to utter, whom you are going to praise. Let's read that verse to understand the importance of fear of God, the reverence and honor that we all must have concerning offering sacrifices to glorify His name. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1, before we continue again, I will read this. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Where do you see God in this first verse? If you say, Lord, I will give preeminence to you in everything, then why the very first verse of the beautiful book of praise and worship, which is the most powerful thing that anyone can do, praise and worship Him, thank Him, it talks about you, it talks about me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. Now you read 2 Peter, what we just read. Verse 7, and delivered just Lord, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 8 says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now you see why the wrath of God was poured upon them. Now you ask yourself, why God said God remembered Abraham after he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? So what God was doing? Rejoicing in destruction, sending fire, and just being joyful by killing people? Or redeeming those who are His? Preserving the hearts of those who can worship Him in truth. Verse 2, Book of Psalm chapter 1. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law that He meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Not your plan, not your expectation, not what you want. In his season. For there is a season for everything. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. What is the wind? Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Can't even stand. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Having a form of godliness shall perish. Godliness with contentment is great gain, shall remain. Now let's go to 2 Peter. As we have something to meditate here, which is so beautiful. So we just listened to the verses from verse 1 to verse 8. Here, look at the verse 5. And spared not the whole world. What? And spared not the whole world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So we all know the significance of number in scripture. Eight represents new beginning. Amen? The eighth person, Noah, was saved from destruction. But the word that is clearly written here, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Flood is something of water, right? So after that, you would see only brimstones and fire. Wherever you see the fierceness of his wrath and anger, he only sent fire. When the Lord divided the Red Sea, when he destroyed the armies of Pharaoh, he used water to destroy them. But he used the same water to deliver his people out of the dry land. The same way the Lord told Noah to build something, but that something will not float until the water comes. That something will not put into work until the Lord sends the storm. That something will not be meaningful, will not be purposeful until the flood is there. Then the ark that Noah built will float. Faith without works considered death. You might have built beautiful ark in your heart. Oh, the Lord gave me this, the Lord gave me that. He will send some stone to see whether it floats or it sinks. Whether it is really made of the wood that He told you, or you just go and gather your own wood, own doctrine, to build your own ark. That is ark of death. Only the ark of God will survive when He sends the flood. Only the servants of God will stand untouched even when they are thrown into fire. Remember Daniel 1, Shadrach? Remember the burning bush? Do you see a similarity there? The bush was not burnt. Shadrach was not burnt. Now, world of the ungodly. So God is giving them credit. The world of the ungodly. Yes, you have done it. You have claimed the world. Keep it. But He destroyed it. Verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. What do you mean by overthrow? Remember the scripture. Overthrow the table. When Jesus saw them buying, selling, He was so angry, He overthrew the table and He cast them away, drew them away. Overthrow the table. The table is for divine communion, to eat the bread of life and to drink new covenant. If someone uses it for sharing his own opinion, to gain some reputation, buy reputation, sell opinion, buy pride, sell opinion, whatever it is. And the Lord sees some merchandise in among us, He will chase them away. For the temple of the Lord is meant to glorify the name of the Lord. For He must increase, we must decrease. Overthrow, He overthrew cities. How? Made them into ashes. He sent fire, devoured them, and they become ashes. And when the wind comes, the ashes will be disappear, right? Have you seen, if you burn a paper, if you just see, oh, my paper is burnt and the ashes is here, close your eye for 10 seconds, the wind comes and take it as if it doesn't exist. It was not there. Yeah, it was there. It's not there. Vanity. It was there, but not there. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. But what we do? Lord, I have this temptation, so I'm working on it. I'm trying plan A, plan B. I'm using all my intelligence, applying all my strategy. I know I can do it. But Lord, in case, if I can't do it, can you please help me out? Read this verse again. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. We, you and me, we know nothing. He knoweth how to deliver you. How to deliver you. But what we have to do? Just to remain worthy of that word. Do we have godly emotions? Do we have the godly burden? Do we have the godliness in our heart? Can we have righteousness without the burden for the ministry of the Lord? No. There is no righteousness without the burden for the work of the Lord. For the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. What do you mean by peace? How many of you say shalom in the gatherings? I ask you, do you really know the meaning of shalom? How many of you know? If I ask you, you say peace. Is it? When Joshua fought all the battles, the children of Israel, they rested. They received rest after all the battles. Behind the word peace, there are battles. There are overcomings. The Lord is fighting for you behind the word peace. There is violence. There is destruction. There are brimstones, fire. There are flood. It's like history is violent. Our present is very peace. The word peace, behind the peace, the other side of peace, you will see the wrath of God. It's like a two-sided coin. One side you see, oh thank you Lord, I have peace. I'm very happy, I'm very calm. But behind your happiness, behind your blessedness, the root cause of all the goodness that you receive, there is sacrifice behind. There is an atonement. There is a battle. There are people who are dying for you. There are people who are crying and praying for you. And me. There are people who are on their knees praying for the salvation of the land without even knowing your name. Trusting the Lord whom they serve knows you by name. Every time you say peace, remember, there are people fighting for you and me behind that word peace. We will go deeper when the Lord blesses us to go on a sermon series on just the word peace. It's not as simple as you may think. The word peace contains the letters of destruction, wrath, teeth in it, not just near it, in that word. That is the definition of peace. The Lord blessed His children to experience His love, to make them believe He is there for you. Then He takes His hands off to see whether you truly believe. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Whenever you struggle, tell this word with understanding, in faith. You will see the deliverance right there. Don't even have to wait for it. It is there. If you truly believe, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of all temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. This is what most of the people are interested. Oh Lord, He hurt me. I want to believe this word. I want this word to be fulfilled in his life. That is the role of adversary. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Most of the times when the Lord brings you out of some filthy land, when we drink milk and honey, we feel good. He gave us beautiful clothing. Put everything, we say, okay, good. When you see the same people from where you came, from where the Lord pulled you out, after many years, you know what happens to you? You despise them. Oh Lord, how much they fell. Look at them. They don't even have doctrines, no truth. Look at these people in denomination, even heathen religion. That is not why God called you. He called you from the pit because you know how the pit was. And now you know exactly how to pray for them. But rather what you do, despising them. Michal, who despised David, she became barren. Can you say, Lord, I didn't despise David, I just despised Goliath. Are you sure? Are you sure his name is Goliath? Saul, who witnessed the stoning of Stephen, was a Jew. He didn't change after the death of Stephen. He was only be able to change when the Lord visited him. So can you say that the Lord would never visit them? Are you sure? Our pastor Richard Gann, where was he before the Lord called him to lead an apostolic ministry? He was an assembly of God. Correct? Correct? So, if you say, oh, those denomination people, it's too hard for them to change, then you're telling the Lord, no, for Richard Gann, all these ministers, they are an assembly of God. No, they are very stubborn. They won't change. He became an apostle. Wake up. The Lord is hearing the cry of His children everywhere, in all the corners of the earth, no matter wherever they are. A faithful man, a faithful woman can be found anywhere, everywhere. For you and me, we should have the burden. We should have more burden than them because we know how the darkness was. The Lord allowed you to experience the darkness. For you to pray for them with the burden, in tears, not in despising and joking. You will be punished. Be careful. We are here to show how the agape love is. To let the people experience what do you mean by agape love. Not to show, I have this, I have that. All these trophies to be taken. Remember this, there are many people who spread evil. They know Bible better than you. They are well versed in Bible. They can tell page number, this chapter, this verse. Can you say the Lord is in them? Do you know the enemy to read the Bible? It's a simple book, right? But not the words of life. The words of a book. Only the children of God can read the words of life. So, what you are looking for? Someone proficient in Bible verses? Or someone proficient in language that you like? Or someone humble, yielding to the Spirit of the Lord to serve you? That's what the Lord is expecting from you. Which is you to receive His grace, to serve Him by being proficient, not in the language or the things of doctrines, by being proficient by receiving the Spirit to utter the words. You don't need 2 or 3 hours to explain Godhead to some non-believer. You just need to be a vessel, just go and sit next to Him without even speaking a word. If the Lord is willing, the soul next to Him, He will receive the sermon from you. The problem is we don't believe. We want to show our knowledge. Remember I told you a few Sundays ago, one of my friends who asked me, was it Jesus who was speaking to Moses in Genesis chapter 33 in the tabernacle? I told you I didn't give him anything. I didn't tell you why. I asked him, what is the reason that you want to understand this? You know what he said? I'm trying to witness. I'm trying to evangelize. People are asking me. You know, sometimes I struggle to answer. I lose my faith. What? I lose my faith. So you need the Bible verses to cover your face. Are you kidding me? So you need the truth to cover your face. To say, oh yeah, this brother, this sister, very strong in truth, we can go and you throw Bible verses. Oh Godhead, I go to this chapter, this verse. My brethren, Godhead is a revelation by the Holy Spirit. If a person can teach, the whole world will have only one belief. The intelligent men of this world, they can decode everything, but they couldn't decode the simple truth that is hidden in the plain sight. For what? It is hid in Christ. No man can access the trees of righteousness, trees of life. It was sealed. Remember Genesis. It was sealed. Who will receive? Go to Revelation, last chapter. The book of Revelation, the last chapter. Chapter 22, verse 1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were of the healing of the nations. What? The leaves of the tree were of healing of nations. Psalm 1, the leaf wither not. For who? Blessed is the man. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. When you sing the song, it will be worth it all. I will see him, I will see Christ, I will see his face. Remember when? And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is what we read in the first 5 verses, right? Now, just go one chapter before. Chapter 21, we read from verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of fountain of the water of life freely. Whenever you read this verse, you remember what the Lord told to the woman at the well, who went into the city again to talk about him, then brought souls unto him, when he talked about water of life. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, all have that part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, when the Lord poured out the wrath in 7 vessels, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Whose wife? The Lamb's wife. Whose wife? The Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit into a great and high mountain, and shewed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like to a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall, great and high, and the 12 gates, not one, 12 gates, and at the gate 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wall, gates, city, righteousness, the Lamb, water of life, and the tree of life. Amen? Now, let us go back to 2 Peter, as there are some beautiful warnings in terms of blessings for all of us to take before we go back to the book of Genesis. 2 Peter, Brother Clement, please continue to read from verse 8.
For that righteous man dwelling among them tormenteth his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a rebelling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and are accursed children. they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet.
Amen.
These are wells without waters, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Savior, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them, and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the ways of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a soul being washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Amen. And it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, we heard the words of life. Let's go to Revelation 22, as we are here to understand the importance of the righteousness that is imputed in the trees, for the trees of the Lord that are planted in his garden, what we receive and what we access. Now you read this. Chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, not know, not listen, but do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Amen? What is the word that is written very clearly? They may have the right to the tree of life. So, to gain, to receive the right to the tree of life, to enter the right to the tree of life, we must enter into the gate of the city. Amen? And the clear-cut explanation of this right is, do his commandments. So when we do his commandments, we receive the right to the tree of life through what? Through the gate into the city. Through the gate into the city. Remember which gates are being mentioned here. Chapter 21, verse 22. Chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Praise the Lord. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gate of it shall not be shut at all day. Read this again. And the gate of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Remember, you always lock your house when you sleep, right? Because of the night. If it's a day, you will just keep it open because you are there, you can see. But in the night, just close the door because you go to sleep. Because you go to sleep, you don't know what's going to happen. The gate of the city is always open, for there is no night. Verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gate into the city. You can't jump over the wall. You are not the ones who creep into the houses. Nobody can creep into the house of God. No one. There are so many assembled around the house of Lot. And Lot was standing alone. like a lame. And those two men fooled him inside the house, like Peter and John. And now three of them are still inside the house. What happened to them? The life that was in them was hidden from all those who were trying to kill them. They became blinded. They will keep on searching for them. Where is the door? Where is the door? Where is the gate? And they wear it all night until the morning when the angels came out. Whatever the Lord wanted them to do, the two men, they finished. But remember the word when they said, "We are here to abide in the street, in the mid of the street. Just leave us." And Lord said, "No, no, 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 no. You come with me. Let's go to my home." And we just read, what does it mean by street? In the mid of the street, in the book of Revelation. Now, 2 Peter, what we just listened, is so, so beautiful. We can see in the lives of Nadab, Abihu, Hophni and Phinehas, and also Korah, Dathan, and the 250 who were assembled to stand with them, and also with Abiram. So now, let's read chapter 19, Genesis. Genesis chapter 19. We are at verse 29. Look at verse 26 and 27. "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Amen. Now read chapter 18, verse 10. "And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Verse 27, chapter 19, we continue. "And Abraham get up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord." He woke up in the morning to go to the place where he stood before the Lord. "And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace." So, it is clear that Abraham was able to see from far distance. He was able to see. Why? Remember the bargain that Abraham made with God? Just one chapter before, his name was changed. Remember? He was Abraham. But the Lord changed his name to Abraham, and he was circumcised along with his son Ishmael. In the next chapter, the Lord appeared unto him, and he spoke to him in the plains of Mamre. And whatever the event that we listened concerning the three men who talked to him about Sarah and the promised son, there is one verse in the same chapter, verse 16. Verse 16, chapter 18, it says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom." And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. "And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way." So whatever that God had planned concerning the two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham was informed of through those men who were with him. And they arose and they saw the Sodom and Gomorrah, because they are going there, they know the direction. So Abraham is like a transition, or what do you call, transit. So they are on the way to a place, and Abraham became like a place of stop and rest, then sleep and go next day. During this period of togetherness, Sarah and Abraham, they received the word that they will have a promised son. And Sarah heard it, she laughed, and the Lord rebuked her. "You laughed." She said, "No, no, 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 no." For she was afraid. And the Lord said, "No, you laughed." And after that, the men rose up in the morning, and they saw Sodom far, and they looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide Abraham that thing which I do?" So on one side, the Lord sent his men, his angel, to go and destroy a city. On the other side, he's preparing medicine. He's preparing a solution. "Abraham, you know, I'm going to do this, so I want you to stand in the gap for me." So Abraham is bargaining with the Lord. "Lord, you know, let's go. Let's talk some numbers." They arrive at a conclusion, a tent. The same way God was with Moses. Moses knows nothing about what is going on in the valley. they were building golden calf. God told him, Moses, come on, you know, something is happening with your people, just go down. It was God who told Moses. Moses knew nothing. He went and did what needs to be done and he came up. And Abraham is being informed to stand in the gap. And he is doing by speaking, by believing in faith, and whatever that he spoke. The scripture says in chapter 19, the same way Abraham the next day looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. You might think, why in some verses the name Gomorrah is missing? It's only mentioned as Sodom. Amen? The three men, they looked ahead of Sodom. The word Gomorrah was not there. But when Abraham looked at, he saw both Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember in the book of Isaiah, chapter 36, 37, when we were meditating on Rabshakeh and Sennacherib, in Isaiah, the way the Lord allowed this to be recorded, only the name of Rabshakeh was mentioned. Was he alone? Go to 2 Kings. Go to 2 Kings to understand why the Lord sometimes singled out, bringing all under one group or one name. Sometimes he splits. If the wickedness is the same, there could be 10 different lands, but they can be identified as one single name. Because you are all same. May the Lord show his wrath and anger upon the great Babylon, the whore. The single name brings all the evil that are working under the roof. Now, 2 Kings, it is also talking about what happened to Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, but in a different way, because the Lord allowed things to record from their perspective what was revealed to them, so that we can go and take the blessing here and there. Amen? Read this, 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 9. Chapter 18, verse 9. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elad, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. Shalmaneser. And at the end of the 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is, in the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Hala and in Habar by the river of Gozan and in the cities of Medes. Because there is a reason, justification given to all the actions of God. Amen? Because he is righteous. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. As simple as that. You see the importance of obedience and trust. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed in their way, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, and would not hear them and do them. They could not do the commandments of the Lord. We just read what will happen if that happens. Nobody will have a right to access the tree of life. Because it is sealed in the book of Genesis, as we read. And we read, verse 13, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Fenced means cities with wall and gates. Amen? Remember what we just read in the book of Revelation. City with wall and gates. And the enemy was able to take them because of their disobedience and unbelief. The Lord allowed them to be taken. All the other nations, other cities. But Hezekiah, because he trusted, obeyed the word of the Lord, they cannot be taken or invaded. Amen? Because they believe. Now, Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord. How beautiful it is. When Peter healed the lame, he said, silver and gold I have none. You know, I have none. I have given everything to him. Now I have only his name. By that name, I heal you. And he told him, arise. And Hezekiah gave all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord to him. Because that is why he came, right? Take it. They can take all the richness of you in this world, but they can't take the richness of you in his word. And he gave everything, and in the treasures of the king's house, not just the, in the king's house, whatever that he had for himself as a king, he gave everything. At that time, did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and he gave it to the king Assyria. My brethren, he took whatever that he can take and threw all to the king of Assyria. Just take all whatever that we have. Just leave us. Leave us in peace. Was there any contentment? Irrespective of giving all of this, then what exactly King Sennacherib wanted to take from that city? Think. Look at the next verse. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan, Rabsaris, and Rabshakeh. There are three names mentioned. From Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. Against what? Jerusalem. The name of the city is Jerusalem, irrespective of wherever you are. If you are holding on to his holy faith, shielded by the Holy Ghost, believing in his name, doing his commandments, you are the new holy city, Jerusalem. The name will be given to you. The name is a promise. You can go and take it. It is there. Do his commandments. Have the right to access the tree of life. And now, they went up and came to Jerusalem. Yes, indeed, they were able to go up and came to Jerusalem. But they could not enter into Jerusalem. For Jerusalem is sealed. Amen? And when they were come up, and they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fullest field. It is in plural. Turn to Isaiah 36. Book of Isaiah 36. Book of Isaiah 36. Verse 1 and 2. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the different cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh. Where are the names of Tartan and Rabsaris? Sent Rabshakeh, the spokesperson, the one who represents the oneness in one voice. Of an enemy, Rabshakeh. One represents all together with him. To Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army, a great host went up against Jerusalem, and he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the high way of the fullest field. What we read in 2 Kings, and they stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the high way of the fullest field. Now you go back to Genesis 19. You may think, the Lord is going to send his fire and brimstone to Sodom and Gomorrah. May think, wow, thank God we are holding this passport of Gomorrah. The fire will only go and consume Sodom. We are a different city. We have a different governor. We have a different culture. No, we are so different. No. Everything that is against God will be gathered, will be cut up, will be burned together. The Lord, he will gather all his wheat and also all the tares to be thrown into fire. Amen? As long as city of Gomorrah share the same mind, same desire, same wickedness of Sodom, whatever the name you call, all the people will turn back. Even a man from Gomorrah, if he calls Sodom, he will turn back, because they all have the same mind. Togetherness, the way they built the Tower of Babel, the enemy, they gathered. King of Assyria, he was able to gather armies of enemies to go against Israel, but they were all represented by great king Assyria, great king of Assyria, Sennacherib. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, when the Lord overthrew the city by sending fire, I want all of us to think very deeply in your heart. Why fire? Why not devouring them by popping the earth and just consume them? Why not sending the sea and just wash them away? Why fire? Why fire? Let's go to book of Leviticus chapter 10. chapter 10. Look what happened to the high priest. Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them of his censer and put fire therein. Do you remember what fire represents in the Old Testament? Whenever the priests and the Levites, were they supposed to offer sacrifices, burnt offerings, sin offerings, and do all the customs of what the Lord wants them to do, just to stay them, make them to stay focused, obedient, sincere, do whatever He commanded them without failing. Incense and fire. Remember these two words in your heart. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, not the one the Lord called them to hold on to, his censer, and put fire therein and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire. What? Offered strange fire. Not the fire that is acceptable in the presence of the Lord, but something quite strange, not from the Lord, not brings a sweet aroma to the presence of the Lord, not a heavenly one, not a humble one, a strange fire. Before the Lord, that is where things went wrong terribly. Before the Lord, to have the courage and that stupid mind that can go against the Almighty, because we are all, whenever the Lord shows us our nakedness, we can see how idiots we could become, how stupid, how foolish we could become. Foolishness. They went and just showed the fire and incense before the Lord, and the Lord called it a strange fire before the Lord. What will happen? And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. No discussion. No word spoken. No time spent. No bargain. Not a chance. Not an option. Done. What the scripture says. If your heart is not prepared right before the Lord, never serve Him. I mean it. If I don't have the desire to serve Him, I should not come to the pulpit. I should sit there and request someone to take over. Sacrifice of the Lord, service of the Lord is not for you, not for me, not for anyone. It is for Him. One single mistake, one defilement, one time you profane the name of the Lord in this altar, we will see the consequence. Fire, incense before the Lord is your sacrifice. What you bring to the house of the Lord. Whatever you touch, whatever you speak for the Lord, we do it in contentment, in humbleness, in sincerity. You may think, brother, I lost my loved one. I make a mistake. I'm a sinner. My heart is broken. I am not at joy. Fine. It is better. God is close to your heart. Because you can still come to the house. But if you think puffed up, exalted, feeling that you could never be wrong, never ever touch the altar, for you will be burnt. You may think some physical fire, the biggest burning that could happen to you and me is for the Lord leaves the tabernacle. You'll be blinded. That's it. The world will take care of it. You know why? They have stored the wrath of God reserved for all the evil things for the time to come. We'll be part of it. Either we fellowship here or we fellowship outside. Amen? We could sit here, but still our mind, our heart, our spirit can have harlotry with the world. Nadab and Abihu, Sodom and Gomorrah, what difference you see? Nothing. Why? They went against the house of the Lord, where Lot was hiding the two men of God. Amen? The two angels. Rahab was hiding the same. The two spies. Those people of those evil city, they laid their hand on Lot. And Lot is called that righteous man in 2 Peter. Amen? And the Lord says, touch not mine anointed. Why? What do you say? Lord, you are almighty. I serve you. I worship you. I love you. Lord, I love you. Oh, you are servant of God. Oh, I will just despise him, I will speak evil of him, I will touch him, I will beat him. My brethren, when the scripture says, the power of God is in you, when the Lord says, touch not mine anointed, you are not just touching the servant of God, you are touching the God himself. Do you understand the scripture now? I remember those who speak evil of the apostle Richard Gant. I heard those words myself. I pray, may the Lord break your heart into pieces, repent and go before his presence and seek forgiveness before the Lord shut his gates. When the Lord shut his gates, no one can open. When the Lord keeps his gates open, no one can shut. We just read in the book of Revelation. And he will do it so only when there is no night, my brethren. And the Lord says, you can only work when there is day. When the night comes, no one can work. Amen? Why you need to work when the night comes? When the Lord sent night, you can't work. The book of Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, woe unto him who say peace when there is no peace. I just told you what is the meaning of peace. We will go deeper. If the Lord don't want you to make peace with those who stand against his word, then you are actually communing with them, committing harlotry with the serpent. Remember, woe unto him who makes peace when there is no peace, who shows light when there is no light. There is only one light, true light. But the truth is, you also have your own light. But that flame will put off, will be put off. You say, Lord, I want to be gracious, I want to be merciful, I'll go and help everyone. Be careful. Yield to the Spirit of the Lord and help as the Lord leads you. And the greatest help you can do to anyone is live the word in you. That's it. The Lord will take care of the rest. Now we read, who is Aaron, my brethren? He was living his life far away in the wilderness. And God told Moses, Moses, let's do this. Moses said, Lord, I can't speak, I'm not eloquent. And Moses, God said, okay, fine, I'll bring your brother. And Aaron was on the way. And God prepared Moses. God prepared Aaron. And Aaron hugged his brother and kissed him. And now Aaron lost his two sons. If God told Aaron, Aaron, come, go and help your brother. If you do so, in the future, when the time comes, I will just burn your two sons. What Aaron would say? Are you kidding me? I don't even want to say the face of Moses, I will just run away. No. The Lord is not here to premeditate his servant. The sheep of the shepherd will react when the situation comes. Response. Because the word of God is in you, it will manifest. The faith of God is in you, it will manifest. Did Aaron leave the post? After his two sons were burnt, did Aaron leave the post? No. He stood there. But did God tell Aaron, I'm going to burn you? Did God tell Aaron, I'm going to burn your sons? Does God have to? Does he have to get your permission, my brethren? When the Lord told Prophet Jonah, I'm going to destroy the city of Nineveh. What the prophet thought? Yes, the Lord is going to use me as a vessel. I'm going to speak the word and the word is going to come to pass. I will tell the whole world, wow, look at me, I'm a prophet. I said something and the word is manifested. Praise the Lord. And he was ashamed. The book of Jonah ends with a question without even giving a chance to the servant to answer. The very last verse of the book of Jonah ends with a question mark. No answer, no room. Discussion ended, period. What Abraham did, Prophet Jonah failed to do. He didn't bargain for the people. He didn't ask the Lord, Lord, what if there is one righteous in that city? Will you still destroy them? He didn't ask. Rather, he became angry. Your word must come to pass. Prophecy is failure. Charity never faileth. The Lord was teaching him a lesson. But he couldn't see. He totally forgot the Lord kept him alive inside the belly of the fish for 3 days. But he didn't want the grace to be shown to the people of the city of Nineveh. Do you see the difference of Lot and Abraham against Jonah? Can you see? Now, fire, incense, strange fire. Sodom and Gomorrah, Nadab, Abihu, destroyer. Those who tried to do something to Lot, they became blinded. They were searching for the door. And when Jesus read the book of Isaiah, when he returned from the wilderness after 40 days of fasting, remember, he was tempted by the devil. He spoke some verses from the book of Isaiah. I came to heal the brokenhearted, and I came here to heal the ones who are blinded. What is the blindness? Not able to see this world? That is nothing. The Lord has given us a vision in our spirit. To see, it's all about Him. To see the truth, to see what's going to happen, to watch and pray. That is the vision. To hear His word and to understand. When the Pharisees and Sadducees saw Jesus was going here and there, healing those who can't hear, healing those who can't speak. Remember, He healed the deaf and the dumb. If you can proclaim the faith by uttering the words in confidence, then only you can say, I can speak. Or else you are dumb. The scripture says the unlearned cannot even say Amen. And Ezra, the scribe, when he read, only those who are learned, they could say Amen. Because the Amen is the name of the Lord. Not anyone can pronounce. Anyone can say Amen. A-N-E-N. It's an English word. But when a child of God say Amen, it's the name of the Lord. You see, the funny thing is, people who are extremely knowledgeable in science and technology say, oh, look at my phone. You know, this phone can only scan my face. If you show your face, the phone can't, you know, open. Oh, wow. So this phone has a fingerprint sensor. Only I can log in. Even if finger looks like me, if you press, you can't access my phone. Oh, your phone has that much intelligence to sense your face and to open. How much more so? The Lord whom you serve. Can anyone name utter His name? Can anyone speak the name Jesus? Yeshua? There could be billions of people crying, shouting the name. But the Lord, the most dwelling place, holy place, heaven, will only receive the word that are sanctified, consecrated, uttered in truth, will reach His presence. He has put walls around. Remember, no filthiness can enter the tabernacle of God. For He is holy. In Him there is no darkness. He is light. He has filtered Himself. God has clothed Himself with darkness. Why? Only then you see there is light. Light consumes darkness. Every time when you see the word peace, you see the battle behind the word peace. Amen? There was a wrath. Because of the wrath, Lord was in rest. He is at peace in the new place, Zor. Because of all the battles, the Lord allowed the enemies to feel His wrath. Joshua overcome all the enemies. Because of that, the land of Israel rested. There is a war behind the word peace. What happened to Aaron? Verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord said. He is not telling Aaron, oh my brother, let me comfort you. He giveth, He taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. What a powerful medicine you can give to heal the wounded heart of the high priest. Moses didn't say any sugar-coated, any man-made philia kind of love. He just told Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. There is no mentioning of the two sons. The word of the Lord spoken, the path of the Lord healed. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. Just take them out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in the court out of the camp, as Moses had said. Because they have no other choice. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and to Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your hand, heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die. What a powerful warning. Don't you dare to rend your clothes. When those three returned to King Hezekiah, they came their clothes rent. Hezekiah said, cheers, he also rent his clothes. Then they put on sackcloth, went for prayer. That's a different situation. But here Moses says, don't do this, lest ye die. Why? Because Moses wanted Aaron to glorify the name of the Lord for what he did. Even that thing was burning of his two sons. Why? Because he said, I sanctified, I consecrated, and I glorified those who come near to me. Only those who are humble can enter Jerusalem, my brethren. And he shall not go out of the tabernacle, verse 7, unless he die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. Now you know why. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses, for Moses spoke as the Lord wanted him to speak. Now you read verse 6. When Moses said this, uncover not your head, neither rend your clothes, lest he die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. Come on, hold on. What's happening here? It's about Nadab and Abihu, correct? Just two. They offered some fire of incense, strange fire. But what they did, they were allowed to go before the Lord to bring that strange sacrifice in the presence of the Lord. For that reason, the Lord is inquiring the entire congregation. Now you should understand why Hezekiah was so concerned, why Nehemiah was so concerned when they saw a single compromise inside the tabernacle. What the word is spoken, look at very carefully. A sin, an iniquity, an abomination, a strange fire of two come upon as a wrath of all the people. Read this. Lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Burning. Fire. Can't escape. And there is water. Even after the destruction, you will still see the corpse. You will still see the dead bodies. They will just decay and be part of the dust. But when there is fire, you would see ashes until the wind comes and carries away. Numbers chapter 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, the sons of Reuben, took men. What they did? Took men. And he said, oh Lord, the enemy is sending wolves in sheep clothes to take the sheep away. The enemy is roaring like a devouring lion to go and hunt those who are weak and broken and go and devour them far away. Took men. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, who sitteth not in the seats of scornful, for you will be taken away. And the enemy will say, yes, I took man. He tried to take Job, but he couldn't. When Job prayed for his friend, and the Lord delivered him from his captivity, he taught a lesson. What a beautiful lesson. The Lord told Job, you are righteous because I called you to be righteous. But in that chapter, the Lord gave a beautiful definition of, what do you mean by my servant? Amen? Can we read the word my servant before we go and continue what happened to number 16? Job chapter 1. Look at the definition given by God. What do you mean by my servant? Whenever the Lord tells Moses, my servant, Abraham, my servant, Apostle Paul, my servant, there are certain things one must do for the Lord to call him, oh, my servant. Look at those things. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, he is giving him ideas. Hast thou considered my servant Job? He was not considering before. Can you please consider him? Just go and torture him. There is none like him in the earth. What a powerful word for a Lord to say about a servant. None like him in the earth. Look at the three words. He is defining, what do you mean by my servant? I'm going to write here. For the Lord to call someone as my servant, for you to become the tree of righteousness, there are four words. First, a perfect, not a strange fire, upright, we have been studying this, the word uprightness, not creeping, one that feareth God. Fear God, And the last one is escape with evil. What is the right word in New King James? New King James.
Shun evil. Shun.
Escape with evil. What we just read, Psalm 1. Can you see here? Before David starts praising, singing, playing his instruments, louder, do this and that, singing songs, creating me a clean heart, O God, all of that, the Lord wanted David to set a warning in Psalm 1. Set this double-edged sword. Whoever wants to praise me, worship me, before they bring the fire with incense to bring the sacrifice in my altar, let them be very careful of whom they are. Let them know themselves, understand where they stand, why they come, what they do, what they intend to achieve. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor sitteth in the seats of unscornful. Once you do that, you will be perfect in His word. God will give you the uprightness. Because you fear God, when there is fear of God, there is knowledge and wisdom, you will receive the revelation and understanding. For that reason, you will flee evil. And Lord said, good, I am giving you a title, my servant. But what people want? No, I want some different title, senior pastor, mighty great apostle, a divine healer, this and that. Lord, I can't serve you if you don't give me a name. I want a position in the church. Come on. What position you want? The only position that I want is not to be burned by Him. To bring the sweet aroma of sacrifice, the perfect fire, the perfect incense with our heart. And just tell Lord, I am weak, I am not sincere, I am not worthy, but Lord, I will be here. You break me, you make me. Let's read a few verses, we'll continue next week. Numbers 16. Verse 2. And they rose up before Moses. That's it, case closed. Do you know? In verse 2, the entire chapter is over. Do you know? Because it is scripture. With certain of the children of Israel, not all, of course not all, as Prophet Branham said, in all the churches, there are three, believers, unbelievers, make believers. And we are moving towards the perfection when there are only believers left, the bride of Christ. For us to burn our flesh. Two shall be one flesh. The Lord separated the wife of Lot from his flesh. Uncircumcised the flesh of disobedience. She became the pillar of salt. Read this, verse 2. And they rose up before Moses, the certain of the children of Israel. 250 princes. What a mockery. Princes of the assembly. Famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now you know how the enemy singles out those who can listen to them. Famous in the congregation, well renowned. Those who are looking for some sort of a clothing, some sort of a flame, some sort of an incense. I'm here. Don't forget my name. I will help you. I love you. Don't forget how much sacrifice I made for the church. Remember my name. Famous, renowned. Wake up. And they are the men they took. Verse 1. Korah, Dathan, Abiram. They took men. Who are those men? The men, those are famous. They wanted to be like princes because there are 250 princes. There is only one prince. Prince of life. Prince of peace. And men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Moses because they were together as one. I said unto them, ye take too much upon you. How many of you heard this word? From people who give you advice. Don't be burdened. Don't be stressed. Just give it to us. We will take care of it. Are you stressful? What do you mean by stress? Tell me. Look at the word that is spoken in the scripture. It stays throughout time until the grace is ended. Saying he deals all things in the same manner. He takes too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, therefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. But they were called famous and renowned. Moses was not called famous and renowned. He was a humble servant, always in the mountain. It was Aaron who was with them all the time. Verse 4, and Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. He knows what's going to come after this. Did Moses say, how dare you to stand against me? I command in the name of the Lord, the fire come and devour you. It's going to happen anyway. But Moses was not the root cause of it. But rather Moses chose to be the vessel of mercy. the vessel of grace. He spake unto Korah and unto all his company. Now you see, the entire 250 people, Dathan, Abiram, if you be very specific, 253 people who were led by one single man, Kohath, Korah, like King Sennacherib, and Moses, Korah and company, Korah and brethren, Team Korah, not just a Korah, and said, even tomorrow the Lord will shew who are is and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. This is exactly what Moses said to Aaron when the Lord burnt his two sons. The Lord sanctify and glorify those who come nigh to him. This dude, take you censers, Korah and all his company. He gave them warning. Take you the fire and incenses, all you, Korah and his company. Put fire therein. Put incense, it down before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth chose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Moses saw some missiles coming to destroy the city. He reversed it. Because the Lord always turned the reproach upon their own head. But for Moses, he tried to help them. Sincerely. Jesus never wanted to destroy Judah. He loved him with all his heart. Because he is love. He is the truth. He can't pay. He can't plan for someone to fall. He tries genuinely, sincerely for salvation of all. But yet, many are called, few are chosen. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. Now Moses is warning them, how dare you? The Lord called you by name, gave you his grace to serve you before him in his altar. How come you took this U-turn? To be famous, to be renowned? He's reminding them of the grace and mercy the Lord has given to them. There are multitude, but still the Lord called them by name. When Jesus said, woe unto him through whom the offense comes, it is better if he didn't born, right? Can you see in the life of Korah? If Korah was not born, can you say things would not have happened? No. The enemy would have found some other vessel. But do you notice something beautiful here? The enemy or the devil, demonic spirits are not mentioned explicitly in the Old Testament. It's all labeled to one person so that we only focus on the characters. But in New Testament, it's all enemy, demonic possession, this and that. There's a difference for a reason. And then he spoke to this, and he had brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. You want to be someone you are not. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, thee will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Except thou make thyself together a prince over us. Impatience. Impatience is disobedience. Impatience is unbelief. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us the inheritance of fields and vineyards. We just read what is the inheritance in the book of Revelation. Wilt thou put out the eyes of this man, we will not come up. Now, before the Lord was wroth, look at verse 15. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Moses telling the Lord, Lord, I'm not taking any sacrifices or offerings from them. I'm keeping myself clean, for you had commanded me to keep the tabernacle of house clean, to keep all the filthy things throw out of the tabernacle. Same. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer. 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. I have been telling you, stood in the door of tabernacle. The door of tabernacle. The door of tabernacle. Every man stood at the door of his tent. Now they are all standing at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. We will continue from here how the Lord leads us next week. May the Lord bless us to realize the privilege that has been given to you and me to have the right to the tree of life. If you remember this picture, I want you to remember one more and think about it throughout the week. Pray about it. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he knelt and prayed, cried, wept, blood was coming out in vehement cries. And there were also three men, but not these three men, three disciples, they slept. And the Lord saw everything for the bride beyond the cross. And he said, according to your will, whatever you want me to do, I will do. He just submitted for you and me, the wife of Christ. Now, the wife of Abraham heard what they were telling. But the wife of Christ, can you hear? Without understanding, no one can hear. After she heard, she didn't understand. She laughed and God rebuked her. When she understood, she gave birth. If you truly want to be fruitful, ask the Lord, Lord, give me understanding. I want to be your wife. I am a bride waiting for you. Without understanding, you are not going to meet him up in the clouds. We will continue next week. Praise the Lord. Shalom, brethren. Stand up. Let's pray. And thank the Lord. Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, for blessing all of us to have the right, your righteousness, to have the right, your truth, to have the right, your revelation, to have the right, your agape love, to have the right, the peace of God, the fruit of righteousness sown in peace. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the calmness that is in all our hearts today. Thank you for the blessed assurance that is ruling our minds today. And thank you, Lord, for healing all of those who are listening to the word of God. For you will bring them out of any cave, out of any prison, for they are the children of God. No matter how many evil spirits surrounding them, trying to torment them, harm them, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we believe they'll all be silenced, they'll all be blinded, for no man can touch the door other than the children of God. May you bless them and heal them and restore them, revive them, redeem them to glorify your name. For to live is Christ. And we are living here for Christ. We thank you for the tree of life. We thank you for the trees of righteousness. And Lord, we thank you that you will bless us to bring the fire that is acceptable in thy sight. Not a strange fire. The fire of Holy Ghost. The wildfire. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, brethren. God bless you.